Hi everyone, welcome. Thank you for being here. Really thank you for being here. Namu myoho renge kyo. Okay, I'm being silly. The main thing I wanted to discuss today is karma and energy. Woo, big subject. Some questions I've gotten recently, and by the way, those of you who've been very gracious about how much this has helped you and certain dialogues, and thank you for the videos and great job. Thank you so much for doing all of those messages. I take deeply to heart. It lets me know that my purpose of the Sangha and sharing is of value. So I deeply appreciate, even if it's just thank you. I see you and I love you for participating in this practice, in this life, okay? So you don't have to have some deep, profound question just to give me a note. I appreciate those short notes, just like I do the longer ones. An interesting question came up that I can remember in my early days of practice, and certainly even before I started practicing Nichiren's Doctrine of the Lotus Sutra. Reminder. Questions like this come up in daily life all the time about other philosophies and religions and stuff, but I think it's just a human question. Why, oh why, are some people born into such misery and others not? Again, why? The big humanity sinker. I really, really don't like that question. I don't think anyone really likes the why thing. We make fun of it all the time because you have, by the time your kid learns to make full sentences, it's a cliche. You know, do this, do that. Why? Because this, this, that. Why? Everything's why, and you end up with because I said so. <You know? laughs> Very authoritarian response, right? But I've done videos on this. Why is a trap of samsara. There is no why. There is more to the point: a how, a what, even perhaps a when, but. Basically, we're analyzing our surroundings and our conditions, our tendencies and conditions, and we're asking, where does that come from? How does that come to be? And I think that's foundationally behind the whys. But why is a question trap for the monkeys? Because there's never a full answer for why. Because it goes to the very foundations of the process of life. And once you get there, it gets very difficult to use words to describe this process from which spawns all of life, including the universe and every subatomic particle or wave, right? Quantum waves, fields, the boson field. It gets very kind of – I guess abstract would be the closest word I could come to it. Right? It gets very difficult to nail down. We can only look at it in a general term, like energy. Energy isn't a thing, right? Energy is what is manifested from or required for work. Okay, what is work? Work is anything that requires energy, like a thought. You have to spawn, create. You can tie volition to this, a thought, in order to then create all the sub routines of activity to move your jaw and tongue and throat to create a word. There's a big chain of work that's happened in order to create a word. It starts with an idea, a thought, where's the thought spawned from, you could ask. And there we start talking about what is epistemology. How do I form a thought versus you form a thought? Those thoughts are based on, rooted in something. And this is where Buddhism gets to talk about tendencies and conditions. A ball has a tendency to be unstable. And in a condition where there's a tilt under the ball, the tendency of the ball is to roll down that tilt. Now we can start talking about gravity and friction. It gets endless, right? So, understanding the depth of this concept, I want you to understand, simply talking around it this way, conceptualizing that energy is potential. And even engineers talk about potential energy. There is no energy present at this moment. It's just potentially there. And the moment some work begins to happen, there is energy, some energy. How much energy? There are many calculations in mechanics and in science to calculate how much energy might be required to do a certain amount of work. But how do we go from this potential energy to something actually occurring, amassing, like an electron or Schrodinger's cat or a thought? This is a subject that human beings have been thinking about for thousands of years, right? And so herein lies some of the benefit of studying other discussions of Shakyamuni Buddha prior to the Lotus Sutra. Because understanding some of that thinking, even if some of it is mind-blowing and hard to study, will give us tips and clues as to the tremendous method and substantiated thought in the Lotus Sutra. As I've said before, the Lotus Sutra kind of stands atop a pyramid or the shoulders of many other scholars on top of, ultimately, Shakyamuni's sermons from beginning to end, from early teachings, sometimes called Hinayana, sometimes called Tripitaka, and it varies the canon, what those, all the way to the Abhidhamma, right? And then beyond that, to ultimately the Lotus Sutra, there's a ton of teaching here, and not all of it is taught at the same level or degree. So when we talk about early teachings, We talk from the perspective of the ultimate teaching. Right? You and I can talk about addition and subtraction without being completely ignorant of everything that came after it, because we just can't. We know there's more behind it. We know there's a lot more complexity to mathematics and physics and chemistry. But that doesn't prohibit us from talking about addition and subtraction and division and fractions, right? Because those are foundational. But we never make the mistake of dumbing ourselves down to what is addition? What's a number? What do you mean? You can't do that. But people try to do it with Buddhism, and it baffles me. Right? Okay. So this energy thing. How do we go from energy to karma? Ooh, we got some rain coming down. So you might hear that in the background. I keep seeing this huge garden spider outside my window. Sorry, distraction. So given that there's energy, and I call it potential, like a quiescent energy, from which come enough interplays that something is active, something that potential goes from potential to formation, which Shakyamuni talks about a lot, especially in the early teachings. When those formations occur, right away, any formation, whether it's a particle, a gas, a thought, whatever, immediately has certain tendencies. If it didn't, it wouldn't have started to manifest. And it's manifested immediately, the duality, it's manifested in an environment. And that environment that it's manifested in are the conditions. So if you can imagine formation post-potential, potential into formation, already has tendencies and conditions. And as it amasses more inertia, it agglomerates with more and more potential, then more and more tendencies and conditions combine with it. Right? I talk a lot about this in the 3000 Realm playlist. Ultimately, whatever comes of that formation, that instantiation from the formation, is karma. Because now a decision has been made that this whatever it is born of formation, which comes from potential, which is undescribable in Buddhist terms, unfathomable, innumerable, all of those words that we hear all the time in Buddhism, manifest into a particular set of tendencies and conditions, and they may agglomerate with more and more and more until you finally, a million zillion steps down, get to earth and humans. Right? All of that is karma. Because karma is energy at work. Now, when we're born into this samsaric world, when we take this form, we are an unfathomable package of tendencies and conditions. And within these tendencies and conditions, we're all slightly or very much different. Part of those tendencies and conditions, by the way, is the condition you're born in. Where are you born? Look at this planet. There are light people, dark people, tall people, short people, fat people, thin people. English people, African, or Brazilian, Portuguese, Australian economies are different. Politics are different. We're instantiated into that set of tendencies and conditions. Now, all the way to this point, we haven't talked about good or bad or better or best or happy or sad. They're simply tendencies and conditions. And when you are instantiated into this samsaric world, you are a package of certain tendencies and conditions. Now, in this world, we're very fond of labeling things. Right? There's the thing, and then there's the label for the thing. This is, you could look at it as a tendency and a condition of samsara. Not just you, but now you're in an environment, which is you, that has its own tendencies and condition as a collection of human and sentient and non-sentient beings. Do you see? Even the flora and the fauna of different areas of the planet differ, and yet they're all part of the same organism that is Earth, Gaia, right? Certain pollens from African areas in Africa travel all the way around the world and affect the jungle forestation in the Amazon in South America. We're all interconnected. So all the planet has tendencies and conditions. Some of those tendencies and conditions look to some of us as horrific. And some of those tendencies and conditions are right next door. And some are on the other side of the world. And we may or may not ever experience them. All of it is karma. It's energy at work. And what Buddhism provides is whatever your situation personally, there is enlightenment, awakening to be experienced by practicing this cleansing, this clarity of those tendencies and conditions. No matter what tendencies and conditions you are informed by, whatever your karma is, it can be ameliorated. And none of us can make the judgment that somebody who is born into what we judge to be horrific circumstances is less likely to attain Buddhahood than we are. Because all of us, the planet and the universe included, are innately in possession of Buddhahood. Because Buddhahood is the very force that we are instantiated of. But the only condition and tendency that we can experience that Buddha mind is the only place where the mind exists, in this samsaric body. This is why Shakyamuni's practice is a practice of this earth, this living, this human, sentient, mind-creating, perceptive tool. And now it's just a game of words, right? But words can also detract you. And you can boil all that down and say the thing is because it is. It just is. Well, that's very unsatisfying. And a really lazy shortcut. you take away all the amazing wonder of what it is, to be. It is incredibly useful in awakening our Buddha mind to see that whatever that is, it is a momentary instantiation of a huge process called life, which is not separate from this. It is being at the same moment as I am. It's amazing to dissect that. It's beautiful to be amazed by it. Is absolutely appropriate to discount it as just you're discounting your own life. You're discounting every cell in your own organs, in your very perceptive mind. So why do some people get born into what you want to judge or I want to judge as great, privileged, horrific, diseased? That's the wrong question. And why is at the root of it? There is no why. All of it is the process of energy and work. In that way, there is no difference. What a thought. What an amazing thought. What a compassionate thought. Because while you're judging that child is born into a crack family with heroin and drugs and horrible economic, disgusting realities in a culture that doesn't value human life and just slaughters, and you can look at it from your privileged place and look down on it and be horrified by it, or you can look at it as something that's not foreign to you, something that's deeply connected to you and your own formation, and from your own set of circumstances, tendencies, and conditions, deeply feel the struggle for valuating life of that person, and you can empathize and have compassion for raising that person's life experience to Buddhahood. That is Buddhist compassion. How do I assist that person? Just like the end of the Hoben chapter. Or I'm sorry, the Tathagata chapter. Do I have the translation in here? Sorry, my eyes. Yeah, at the end of the Lifespan of the Tathagata chapter, when we recite Gongyo, right? The translation being, always I'm aware of which living beings practice the way and which do not. And in response to their needs for salvation, I preach various doctrines for them. At all times, I think to myself, how can I cause living beings to gain entry into the unsurpassed way and quickly acquire the body of a Buddha? It's what we practice. All right. Remember what it sounds like? Here. Zu yo shokado ise shuju ho maisi zazen en igario shujo toku nyu bucho do sokujo ju bushin. Every time we recite that, this is one of the things, one of the reasons we do gongyo, to remind our conscious mind always, this is what I'm trying to do. Right? It's all in the first person. That's why all of this is in the first person. It's your Buddha talking. At that time, at all times, I think to myself, how can I cause living beings to gain entry into the unsurpassed way and quickly acquire the body of a Buddha? This is us teaching ourselves compassion. It's not about that person being in horrific circumstances. That's a judgment call you're making. Remove your social anxiety and placement from the equation. Flip it around. It does no good for that starving child in whatever, Ethiopia or wherever that child is, to look upon the great white man as this privileged thing. They don't see that. And if they do, it's greater suffering. They're not in a position to do that. They're just trying to live another minute, another day. Everything for them that supplies some nourishment, some existence, is glorious until they give up. So, you know, we take a lot of liberty in judging. But Buddhist compassion doesn't do that. Buddhist compassion understands that we're all sentient beings. The only thing that's slightly different about one another is the set of tendencies and conditions we're manifest of. Karma. And every thought, every word, and every action that we now create as a conscious being in samsara is a whole different level of karma. Because yes, we're born of these formations and sets of karma. But the moment we're conscious, we're affecting and influencing that karma. That is the practice. If you're going to practice awareness, perception, cognition, do so in the Eightfold Noble Path. Do so with the mind of a compassionate Buddha. That's the whole practice. That's Bodhisattva way. All right. Probably droned on long enough. Thank you once again for listening, especially if you listened all the way this far. You finally got what I was starting out to talk about. I'm sorry if I deviated a little too much. I don't know what that is, because I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not here to contrive anything, or my purpose here is to help you find your own insights to strengthen your practice. And I feel, for me, the only way I can do that is to be completely open and honest with you. And if that means I have odd little analogies or experiences to share with you, I consider that to be the function of the Sangha. And I encourage you to do the same. Many of you have. I've read some incredible stories from you, and I take them to heart. They expand my understanding. of myoho renge kyo, of energy into work, karma. So thank you. Thank you very much. And you can download these as audio podcasts, the Buddhahood podcast. If you can contribute to help keep this thing going, our membership on this channel continues to grow. So too does it on the Podbean or the podcasts. And I'm starting to get some questions from you guys there. It's great. It's just expanding my practice. So I appreciate all of you deeply. Thank you very much. Take care of your health. Be kind to yourself and others. And I will see you next time. Bye for now. Hey, thank you for being here. Did you know there's a third way you can help support this channel? And it won't cost you a cent. Yep. If you are not able to be a patron on Patreon or use the PayPal me at .com at Sifu Sylvain because you don't have the financial fortune to help support this channel right now, you, as I say, always support this channel by watching. But you can also help us grow so that maybe one day we can get over 10,000 subscribers and YouTube will grace us with monetization. It's not a lot, but if you can make sure you're subscribed and share a video like a simple one, just go into the search criteria and type monk and you'll have a video that'll come up that's been up for years about what is a monk. You know, it's called monk, who, how, where, something like that. That might be a great introduction to somebody who doesn't understand what a monk is to begin with. It's a tool. Use this channel as a tool to help you with your bodhisattva practice and share a video to somebody who you think, oh, I know somebody who'll benefit from watching this. And in that way, you can help us grow. And that's a really good way to help your practice along as well. So just wanted to drop that in on you, in case that's something that you might find useful. Take care of yourself again, and I'll see you soon. Bye.